In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. I want to welcome you to the second part of our spiritual day. And I hope that you're enjoying and that you have a beneficial spiritual day today with each other and with God. We spoke about one aspect of the service of our Lord and how the Lord paid attention to the individual, their needs, their desires, their wants. And you know, I was thinking while I was preparing this, Christ actually could have done everything through sermons. He could have just gathered into a very big public place and he could have just said the word and went away, and that was it. All his dealings could have just been public speaking. But he didn't do that. He paid attention to the personal touch. And in spite of the fact that he was so busy, he gave individuals his time. He was invited to the house of Simon, the leper. He was invited to the house of Simon Peter. He went to the house of Matthew, Levi. He went to the house of Zacchaeus. He spoke with Philip and with Nathanael, telling them when he was speaking with Nathanael, "When you were under the tree, I saw you." Very personal touches that the Lord spoke with his people. He even had nicknames for James and John, Ibn Rab, sons of thunder. Why did he say that about Jesus? So you see throughout all of the ministry of the Lord, there was a great depth in the personal touch. There was a personal relationship. And just like Utsavuna Abram, he taught us that this personal touch is exactly what Christ did for everybody, and what Christ wants. I'm sorry, what Christ did for everybody, and what He does for you and me, and what He wishes His servants to do to those whom they serve. Now, you know what a discourse is? A discourse is conversation. Whether it's a public conversation or private, whether it involves one person or a thousand people between one person. Take, Annie, this could be a good Lenten exercise. Take what you mean about all the discourses that Christ engages in. And on one side of the paper, put that how many he did with a publicly multitude, and how many of his disciples did individually. And you'll find out that he did so many, much more with individuals than with big crowds. Okay? So that was the scope of the first lecture, the first talk that was going to talk. I want to remind you about our two verses for the day. The first one, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Our goal this day is to try to learn how to imitate Christ. How to imitate, not just in action, not just in word, but in our actions, in our deeds. In what we do, in what we, how we speak to you, how we, especially you as servants, or some of you are preachers, or serving as a preparatory class, look at the personality of the Lord and see how He dealt with people. He dealt with people in a very special way. He led people in so many different ways. The second verse, take my yoke upon me and learn from me. So today, our goal is to imitate the way of the Lord, to learn from what He does. And what I'll try to do is I'll try to dissect just a few incidents in His life, in His ministry, and pull out from it a lesson that I can learn and you can learn from as well. I wanted to say before I get into the discussion that the Lord, He had no servants, but yet He was called a master. He had no army, but He conquered the world. He had no degree, but they called Him what? Teacher, rabbi. He had no medicine, but they called Him the physician. He had no army, but yet kings feared Him. King Herod, terrified of a little baby boy. He committed no crime, and yet they killed Him. He was buried in the tomb, but yet today He's still alive. So I just want to say in this, we have to see this is the result of His life. This is what Christ is. Now let's try to figure out how to be like that. You can be more powerful than any enemy of yours. You can crush the devil under your feet. You can affect a person if you're dealing with them through the characteristics that we're going to talk about in this coming talk that we're going to have. From the very beginning, God wishes us to imitate Him. Can anybody think of an example, a verse, a situation where Christ is, God the Father is seeking and asking us to imitate Him? Anybody? Okay. The verse says, "Learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." Yes? Anybody else? How about Genesis chapter 1, verse 26? "Let us make man in our image and our..." Right from the very beginning, you and I are set apart to be like Him, to imitate Christ in everything you do, especially your servant, especially, more so than anything else, your servant, because you are servants of the true servant, the chief servant. You see? So, the verse in Leviticus chapter 20, "Be holy as I am holy. Be perfect as I am." He's calling you to imitate Him. Okay? He's calling you to imitate Him in every way. As you can see, our topic has to do with leadership. Any servant should be a leader. If you serve a family of 5, of 4, of 10, you're the leader of that family in the way to salvation. If you serve an individual, you lead him to the path of God. If you serve a Sunday school class, you're leading them to know Christ. If you're a Sunday school family leader, you're leading other servants. If you're the Sunday school coordinator, you're leading all of the servants. If you're a priest, you're leading a congregation. If you're a bishop, you're leading a diocese. If you're a pope, you're leading the entire church. So every level of service, from the individual to the collective, has to do with leadership. And we're not really used to hearing the word leader. We usually hear words like steward, or key, head, servant. Maybe another word like rai, shepherd. Okay? But the characteristics of a leader is very clear in the life and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is so clear that it actually jumps off of the face of the page and comes out of it if you look and examine certain situations and Christ's work, His ministry, His life. And this will be our topic of contemplation this afternoon. My beloved, let us imitate the Lord. Let us learn from the Lord how we can be servants who lead others to Christ, just like He came to lead us to God the Father. And I don't want you to mix up the two, between a worldly leader
than a spiritual leader. Because the worldly type of leader, or the worldly type of idea of leadership, is a very, it's full of problems.
Full of pride, full of envy, full of power, full of all these things that have nothing to do with the service. Okay? So I'm going to talk in a specific spiritual way about this idea of leader and leadership. Being a spiritual leader that the Lord taught us is a very different thing. So how can I be a spiritual leader? How can I lead others to Christ? I'm going to examine a few points depending on the time that I have. So we'll start with the first. The first characteristic that we see in the Lord Jesus Christ is that He always led by example. He always led by example. What do I mean? I mean that the Lord never taught anything that He Himself did not do first. The disciples, when they were with Him, chilled. I'm trying to think of a better word in English. You learn from somebody. Okay, that's when you say, I think the Arabic is better. You shoveled min al Messiah. Meaning, He's giving them something from Himself, and they're taking it in, and they're taking it, and it becomes part of them. You see? And this specific point is a very strong point in the life of Christ. How He led so much by example. For example, they learned how to deal with the multitude in a very spiritual way. They learned how to deal with people in a very spiritual way. They saw Christ, the spiritual leader, not concerned about Himself, but about the multitude. Let's see an example. And when Jesus went out, He saw a great multitude, and He was moved with compassion for them. And healed their sick. And when it was evening, His disciples came to Him, saying, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." But Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." You give them something to eat. So the disciples were quick to dismiss them. Let them go. We don't want to have anything to do with them. Halas, we gave them what we need. We did our part. Let them go back and get their other needs somewhere else. But Christ said to them, No. You give them something to eat. Okay, look at the next one. Now Jesus called His disciples to Himself and said, "I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away, lest they faint on the way." See? Christ could have easily just said, "You know what? I did my part. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I did my lesson. I gave my service. You know what? And now, glory to God. Let them take care of themselves. Hold on. Let them take care of themselves. His eye, my beloved, is always on the people. His eye is on their needs. He's always concerned about them. The disciples, on the other hand, let them do whatever they want. So, we have to see the first quality in a spiritual leader is to lead by example. To imitate Christ's care and compassion for those who we serve. Another point in how he taught them by example. Can the Sayyid al-Masih Haris Gidden ala Khilwitu? The Lord Jesus Christ was very, very careful to observe and to keep His own personal retreat. His own personal retreat time. Okay? Christ didn't need a retreat. But despite that, they saw Him going to the mountain to pray alone, staying up all night to pray. The multitudes want you, one time, the gospel. And then what did He say? No, I can wait. I need my retreat. He taught them, my beloved, how to have the retreat by his example. His example. Some of you, in your suggestions that you sent through the email, and by the way, thank you for all of you who took the time to respond to the email. I've incorporated all your ideas into this. For example, fasting. Someone in the discussion or the email mentioned, how can we fast in a better way? What is fasting?
Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, again, he led us to fast by one. We even sing. And so on the feast day, the Lord Jesus Christ fasted for us. 40 days and 40 nights. Okay? Because before he even asked you or me, he did it himself.
Okay? Look at this. Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Truly the Lord, he never gave them a clear commandment, take a retreat. But they saw it and they learned it from his example. They could have said, Lord, you're too busy. So many people want to see you. You've been traveling and working all day. Shouldn't you just rest a little bit? But the Lord teaches them by his example, again, that they need time to sit with themselves. You wish to be a good servant? You wish to be a spiritual leader? You wish to lead those to God? You need time to pray from God in your retreat. Sometimes what happens in our retreats, we fill it with activities and this and that because people accuse us of being too much or whatever the case is. But in the retreat, we miss it. If you don't get a chance to sit with yourself during a retreat, then you've lost the whole idea of a retreat. You see? So, it's really important, again, we should be careful at the time that we spend with God. Our time with God, our prayers, our calm.
Just sometimes, you know, we sit quietly with yourself. Okay, you can learn how to be calm. You can actually, it's all in this book, Shemuda, in one of his books, I think, Characteristics of the Spiritual Path, he said that if you sit on the calm, if you sit by yourself and you're quiet, you're going to hear the voice of God. Imagine hearing the voice of God. So we have to pay much attention to this idea of our retreat. Okay?
They saw Christ also, another example, praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember? And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Through the example of Christ, my beloved, they begin to understand that the spiritual leader is a man or a woman.
Again, you wish to lead your children, those who you serve, into the kingdom, into the knowledge of God, which is, by the way, somebody also put that in the email. Have you been able to make them to know the Lord and understand it? Very simply, if I don't know how to manage, how can I explain additional attraction to somebody if I don't even know? How can I describe to them the face of the Lord if I'm in the mirror? You see? So to answer that personal question, the closer you get to the Lord, you personally, the closer you get, the more you will exude like that the same quality that you are sweet. Sweet, not afraid of the Christ. Not that the long Bible may be, or from our James, right? What you do is the cologne, the smell of Christ. When people know, people will feel it. when they see you in a sense where they can feel your prayerfulness, your calm, your concern, your genuine concern, your ability to
give the problem up to the Lord. All these things that have don't come from books.
You should see me in the book. It doesn't come from a book. I can sit and speak with you. You can sit with your spiritual guide for years and he can teach. But if you don't go into your room and practice it, it's just a teaching. It's just a dead word on his paper. It becomes alive when you take the effort and you move forward in life. And then, what happens? Then it becomes alive in you. Then it becomes part of you, which people then will be able to offer a beautiful fruit, right? Sweet fruit from any tree. The tree of humility. You get close to Christ, for example, you will learn what true humility is. That's our option. The true humility is from the one who died in the cross. The true humility, the true peace, is from the kingdom of Jesus. My mother, to be a spiritual leader, you have to hate and feel how good you are. And all of that. Hate them. Talk about it. Hate them through your life. Hate them through your prayers. Hate them through your fears. Hate them through your matanya. Take them through your transformation of your mind. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12. Peace. You think that's what's going to happen. You're going to want everybody else. But if you haven't tasted,
you'll never be able to get that taste or describe it for your kids, for your children, for your family, for your spouse, for your co-workers. Every one of us,
we deal with people that are non-Orthodox, non-Christians. And we see they're beautiful people, they're good people. How do we get to them? Taste the Lord. And He will work to move you. You will be that chosen vessel, like St. Paul the Apostle, like Moses. And that, like Joseph, who, when Jacob came
and he finally met Joseph,
Joseph did what to Pharaoh, the pagan, he did what? Him. He blessed Pharaoh.
Pharaoh asked for a blessing. A pagan, simply because of the sweet smell of Joseph.
Because he came out. You see, my beloved. This is how you get the people, your children whom you serve, to know Christ. And if you think there's any other way, you're very mistaken. Very much mistaken. You're a newly wed couple, you have a few kids, very small, you don't have any kids yet, I'll give you all ministry, maybe sleep this night.
What do you want to do? How are you going to deal? How are you going to get that to your kids?
Lead by example. That's the true spiritual person. That's the true spiritual servant. That's the true spiritual leader.
This is how, my beloved, we can change the world. St. Paul was only one.
And he basically, of course, he had been one of the world, he basically single-handedly converted the entire world, known world. And how many of us here? And how many of us say, Paul, and God, you, I, if you taste the Lord, what's going to happen? You're going to see it change. God is going to give you the power to change your life.
Okay? Okay. If you're a true spiritual leader, you can't help to feel the responsibility. You can't help to feel the responsibility that you have toward those who are underneath you, those who are not supposed to die, so you can pray and you can pray. So, okay, I'm in your home. I have 10 children in my class. I have 5 people when I have. I have 500 people in the church. Then I start realizing, oh my, what a great responsibility. And so instead of focusing on them, I turn the focus to who? Myself. Seriously. This is how we become the true spiritual servant, the true spiritual leader. You have a choir. Any service you do the bulletin board. You give out the water. You tutor. If you feel that it's a responsibility, you know what's going to happen? You're going to change all those things into your that you have under your care of God into things. If you feel it, if you don't feel it, you're going to take that, the most precious thing that God gave you, the servant, a soul, and just, it's always giving me a problem, you know. Or you know what? I don't want to deal with a Buddha and need to sit in a family meter. That tells you and me that we don't understand responsibility. You don't have an idea if that's the first thing. If you're always talking around, if you're always being unfaithful in your service, if you're always thinking that church is just social place. If you only need just a play or just a whatever, make connection, business connection, whatever it is, why people come to the church. If that's your priority, you miss all that. You don't understand yet the responsibility. Because once you feel just one over a million of the responsibility, you're going to look at yourself and say, oh my Lord, give me strength, give me peace. I need this. I need to be able to get these people to know you and to see you and to love you and to know, worship you. And you start thinking about yourself first. This is the spiritual servant. This is the spiritual leader. This is the spiritual worker. Soldier. Not the I do. Reevaluate ourselves. And it's the best time to do it is now in Great Lent, when you're sitting and you're thinking about all of these things. Another example, Christ taught them how to be simple. Okay? A spiritual leader is a simple person. He sat with anybody. He ate with anybody. He spoke with anybody. Okay? And even at one point when someone came to him, one of the Jews said, Lord, I want to follow you. What did he say to them? He said to them, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He's saying, you're going to follow me? Okay. You're going to be in a lot of trouble, in tribulation, hard. It's going to be hard. I don't even have a place to lay my head down. I am a homeless person. You want to follow me? You've got to be humble. You want to follow me? You've got to suffer. In another point, he said, you want to follow me? Take up your cross. And back then, it wasn't a nice little decoration we put on our chest or hang in our church. It was a symbol of death, suffering, and sacrifice, and humiliation. It was one of the harshest ways to die. Actually, how did St. Paul die? How did St. Paul die? Why did he die by crucifixion? He was a Roman citizen. So you see, at the even, if you're a Roman citizen, even though you are sentenced to death, they give you the honor of not dying by cross. The word says, follow me. Take up your cross. And me, people that are dressed in fine apparel
are in king's palace. You're looking at me, is what he's saying to them indirectly. Look at me. My body is dusty. My feet are dirty and unruly. My hands are chapped and dry. Because I've been walking in the sun to get this American woman for 6 hours. I've been out preaching to these people for 3 days. What have you got? Why are you a servant? What are you here for? What do you expect from a servant? Do you expect it to be a temple and everything is beautiful and everything perfect? God is inviting you, my beloved, to be here. And what they call that gives us great, great comfort.
We suffer with him that we may be نتألم معاه عشان إيه؟ نتمجد معاه. شكرا. He was a very simple man. Let's imitate and learn from his simplicity. Why do you think
he chose to do that with his husband? If he was
If he was from a palace, if he had money, if he had a lot of possessions,
how do you think the disciples would have felt? Or would they have trouble when they went out to preach?
You see, the life of simplicity and harshness and hardness that he was teaching them through his example helped them in the future. Just like the Master did, so we will do. Okay? When they went out to preach the entire world, was it comfortable?
Did they have nice cars to go in, escort, fresh food, bathrooms to bathe themselves in?
They didn't. So he was preparing. He was preparing them. You see, my beloved, the spiritual servant is the servant who is a simple person. He isn't affected by anything, and he doesn't affect others in my opinion.
You have somebody
every single, let's say one servant, not enough.
Every word that
comes out
of that
person
is not
the spirit. Abuna, the screen is not flat.
What are you doing? It should be flat.
It's a little bit hot in here. There's not enough light. The Lord is asking you to come on a journey of suffering with Him. So you ask yourself this great length, how do you suffer for the service? How are you persecuted in the name of righteousness' sake? How? And the lights go on. Thank you, Heb.
And then after that, it's going to get hot because those things are going to eat.
My beloved, second point. So the first point, all of this, I'm sorry, this is one point.
Is Christ taught by? Christ taught by. Example.
Second characteristic of Christ's ministry and spiritual leadership. Christ was a spiritual leader in the sense that he delegated. He gave responsibilities out. He could have easily saved everybody with his own power. The one who blessed the 5 loaves and 2 fish, did he need those disciples to give them the food? The one who raised Lazarus from the dead,